Da-na-da-na-da-na. This is where the intro music goes. Da-na-da-na.
But, and this butt is a big butt.
Ooh, I cannot lie.
Yeah, I like big butts. Yeah. That is a hot take, my friend. hot take. Num, 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 num. I'll eat that crow. Man, Cincy Stephen's going to get that.
What's up, everybody? You know what time it is. It's time for Grade A, our first L of the season. And I am here along with my sidekick. No, you're not my sidekick. You're my co-host.
Yeah, hey, wait a second. Come on.
You're the guy that really runs this place. Adam Kuhn is with me to talk about the first loss of the season again in MLS play. A loss at TQL Stadium, which had been few and far between. And Adam, before we get into the game, like, is it full-on panic time?
I'm glad you asked, because I was thinking about this myself. I don't know if you've ever actually, like, worked at a place where you've had, like, your own personal panic button. But I have. And I remember one time, I used to work in a government type job, and this was before 9/11. But everybody at the place had a panic button under their desk, and a guy came in one day and started like yelling about his wife's immigration status, and mm-hmm. and how like the government had dropped the ball, and like then started talking about like shooting up the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not hit the panic button. But let me tell you something. I knew where my panic button was. Like, I had it sized up. So are
the Red Bulls an immigrant spouse coming in to yell at us?
Where I'm going with this is, I'm not hitting the panic button yet, but I know where the panic button is. The season's still young. Like I said before the last show, I think, you know, Red Bull pretty much have their main components back from last year. They've kind of hit their mid-season stride, I think, already.
Yes.
It doesn't surprise me that we looked a lot flatter than they did. But it didn't seem to me once we got down by down 2-1, it didn't seem to me like this team had any fight in it whatsoever. Yeah. And that's troubling. So
at home,
you know, we managed like I think our only shot on goal after that was from Datto, and he had one of only two shots. Now, we did have some opportunities that were called offside, and we'll get to that.
Right.
But But, you know, we only managed to, you know, when we should be chasing the game, we had every attacker we have in the game at that time. We'd pretty much only made kind of offensive substitutions, and we still couldn't muster shots. You know, that's a bit troubling. So, there's parts of this game that I think kind of expose some things that really need to get fixed if we're going to reach the same heights we did last year.
All right. Well, we'll move over into it. We can start talking about it, and you can sprinkle in your panic as we go. How does that sound?
Okay.
All right, so let's recap this. Always a tough matchup for this team. I would say our de facto, like, organic rival, right? I mean, Columbus is just sort of expected, and for good reason. This one has kind of come from games that have mattered and teams not liking each other. And I do think that what you said is really important in this. Like, you know, they've got basically their starters back. And they do seem like, of all the teams in MLS, like they are in the best form right now. Whatever. Take from that as you will. But let's get into this. 2-1 loss to the Red Bulls. We will start in the goal where it's not Roman Celentano, who appears to be out multiple games. Thank you, Charlotte, in your shitty turf. But in his place, Evan Lauro gets the start. Pretty cool story. Waiting all this time to get his first start, and he gets a PK save. How was he otherwise?
I mean, kind of a mixed bag, maybe. I thought his saves were nice. Almost like his first shot was a really nice save on a hard to see looping Carmona shot. You know, it was kind of screened by Keller. And he did a really great job to see that and make a really nice save on that. And, followed by the Frankie, goal. I mean, that may have been savable, but definitely would have been a difficult save. It was low. It had a lot of pace on it. It was pretty far out and it wasn't like a screamer, but still, you know, a difficult save. Then he had a really great save on a high bullet Forsberg shot right before halftime. It was at him, but you know, really had a lot of swerve on it. Really, you know, made him make a jumping punch over the bar, and then PK save was. You know, just absolutely fantastic. I mean, that, you know, we haven't had a PK save in years, I think.
Seems like it, right?
Yeah, I mean, other than, you know, in a PK shootout at the end of the game, I can't remember the last one. But, you know, it was a low, hard shot. Maybe could have been a little better placed, but, you know, Evan Loro guessed the right way, got a good hand on it, was able to push it wide. So, you know, like I like to say, full marks on that. I mean, that really is kind of like a you know, I'm sure that is a lifetime memory for Evan Loro. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Van Zier goal, you know, in the 60th minute, I really think he probably could have and should have done better on that. Pretty close to him. He was able to get a hand on it. It was a hard shot. It was fairly close, but you know, it was close to him, and he was able to get a mitt on it. Just couldn't quite get enough to turn it wide. But you know, I think all in all, I'm not walking away from that game thinking that Evan Loro is the problem.
Fair.
You know, I thought this game easily could have had more goals in it. Even, you know, they did not have 2xG, which I thought was kind of surprising, considering that PK is almost an automatic 1xG, but right. It's like 0.7. But you know, I thought he did really well in the game. I gave Evan Loro a 7.0.
All right. Yeah, it was a good start for him. Unfortunate that, you know, unfortunate that it comes with a loss. But I agree with you. He was not the issue. So I'm going to give away a little bit of the plot here, Adam, because our back line and midfield were not good. So let's start on the back line. We were just overrun, but you're going to tell me all about it. So the back line, the two usual suspects in Miazga and Robinson, and the revolving door at left back this time gets a Kip Keller start, who this was probably not Kip's best game. So he made it 45 minutes, and then Ian Murphy came in. So, Adam, I'm just going to go – let's just go 2-for-1 out of the gate.
All right. Now, yeah, I thought – I mean, honestly, I didn't think Kip Keller was terrible. I mean, I'm going to, you know, end up being a little heavier on midfield, harder on the midfield than I am.
Yeah, because they ended up putting a lot of pressure on the back line.
Right. That's kind of, you know, they're just. Oh, we'll get to it. So anyhow, yeah, Kip Keller, you know, I thought he gave up way too much space on to Carmona on that looping shot that Loro ended up making. But he also really was not much in the way of passing. You know, he did have three clears, only two recoveries, only one of three on duels. I don't think he was anywhere near as involved as the other two guys, for better or for worse. I mean, I think there are plays he probably should have gotten himself more involved in. You know, we had a hard time figuring out when to step up on them. Like all of our center backs did. There's a lot of times when, you know, our defensive midfield got beat And then our center backs are kind of caught in this no man's land of, you know, do you step up and try to stop the attacking midfielder, and it leaves you a little shorthanded to defend against the center forward. So, you know, it was a tough situation. I don't think anybody did particularly well. Kip Keller among them. I gave him a 5.5.
Ooh. All right. Do you want to go Ian Murphy right away?
Yeah, let's go Ian Murphy. I thought Murphy, it was kind of the same story defensively, but I thought he was much better offensively. He had 7 progressive passes, which was second on the team in only 45 minutes, which is a troubling stat, but also 7 progressive passes is pretty good for a half. He also had a progressive carry. He was 89% passing. He won 5 of 6 of his duels. Also won both of his tackles, which was good for the team lead, which tied him with Obi. He had 2 recoveries, which wasn't, you know, not that much. But again, you know, center backs sometimes don't get that many recoveries. So, yeah, I thought Ian Murphy was actually honestly had the best game of any of our center backs. I gave him a 6.5.
All right. Well, if 6.5 is what the best performances, I'm not looking forward to the next 2. So we'll jump over to Matt Miazga. He of much history with not only this team, but I believe this center ref, if I remember correctly. And lo and behold, he ends up with a yellow card in this one. Talk about Mr. Miazga.
Yeah, I you know, kind of a shout out to the fans who are like complaining about the foul discrepancy. I'm like, we're playing the Red Bulls and we have Matt Miazga and the refs are back. And what do you think is going to happen? You think we're going to get the benefit of the doubt on these? No, we're not. We're not. That's not happening anymore. We've lost that. And so, Miazga, he had some bright spots, had a really great long ball to Lucho to start our goal sequence. Like you said, he did have a yellow. I'm not sure if it was for the foul that set up the penalty kick or for dissent afterwards, but he definitely got a yellow. And you know, there's no real arguing on the PK call. Definitely, you know, got a big old handful of Sean Nealis's shirt there. He did have 5 recoveries, which tied him for second on the team lead, or second in the team. He had 4 clearances. He was 90% passing. He led the team in progressive passing distance like he usually does. He did have a shot creating action, which was good. But here's the thing.
Here's the big but.
Here comes the big but. I mean, the PK was just absolutely fully unnecessary, and you know he did get absolutely caught. I mean, it is probably something that you get away with, you know, especially a veteran of his stature, you know, kind of gets a, you know, you can sneak that in, but Sean Nealis did a good job of selling it, made it obvious that his shirt was being pulled. Forced the decision, exactly. And did they score on that? No, but that is something that a veteran center back should not be caught doing. And I thought otherwise in the game. I thought that you know, he was shaky enough defensively. He and Miles were both kind of like they could have gotten, you know, they're the senior men in this. There were times that they should have stepped up and they didn't. And that's especially true of Miazga being the central back. You know, I just thought there were too many times where Forsberg was allowed to get too close, or it was usually Forsberg, but sometimes Stroud, sometimes Amaya. And their midfield just bossed us and put our center backs into really difficult spots. I gave Matt Miazga a 4.0.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's probably deserved, though. So let's finish out the back line. Miles Robinson.
Yeah, we haven't lost in a while, so it's been, you know, you forget how tough I got to be on these guys. Yeah. You know, he also had some really nice plays. He had a couple really nice deep recoveries where he was sort of the last man. He was 5 of 7 on duels won. He had 3 clearances and 5 recoveries, which tied him for second on the team. Both of those things. But like you said, like again, just a giant mistake on the Vanzier goal. First, you know, lets the pass nutmeg him to Vanzier, and then just completely overruns Vanzier, like in the Spaceballs movie where they hit the air brake and you know, he went goes to plaid. Like, I mean, he goes like 3-4 steps past Vanzier and leaves Evan Lauro hanging out to dry a bit there. I mean, that whole goal sequence from beginning to end was like like four guys made just giant mistakes on that whole thing from the back going forward. It was, you know, Lauro had a bad play. Miles had a bad play. We'll get to a couple others, but yeah, Miles definitely one of the main guys holding the bag on that goal, if not the main guy. I gave him a 5.0.
All right. Finish out that back line. Let's move into this overrun midfield. We'll start out on the left, Luca Orellano, because we pronounce things the right way, Adam. That's 85 right. Minutes, got himself a yellow card. Talk about him.
I mean, you pronounce things the right way. I don't always, but
I usually butcher them, let's be honest.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm probably worse than you, but if we're really being honest, but I digress. You know, Luca had a couple of really nice plays, a really, you know, great shot that hit the crossbar. A lot of action on that, then takes another shot that went just over the crossbar off the back corner. And I think a lot of people thought that one scored. He did get that yellow for infringement on Stroud, which was not that good, but not a terrible yellow. One shot creating action, though, that's not going to cut it. I mean, that's where my rub with his game got. Like, I just thought he had nothing at the end of all his possessions. He was also only 4 of 12 on duels. He did have a key pass, but we you know, we depend on him for more, frankly, and he gets opportunities to get more. He was not great. 75% passing. He had 6 attempted dribbles. Only one of those was successful. Only had 3 recoveries. Just overall, not a great game from him. I gave Luca Orellano a 5.5.
Yeah, you know, Noonan was quoted afterwards talking about how, especially offensively, we seem a bit disjointed and maybe guys are trying to do too much themselves. I don't know if you saw that quote or not, but
I did.
Yeah, it was out there. No special reason that I would say that. But let's move then into the central of the midfield with Pavel Buka.
Well, here's probably the guy that you know, didn't, from other people trying to do too much, he did not do enough.
He was not trying to do enough.
I will say, like, his defensive effort was just absolutely not really there. That was especially true on the Amaya goal. I just thought he was sort of jogging to try to close down that shot. He only had 2 recoveries. He had 1 missed touch. He was once dispossessed. He was 4 of 10 on duels. He only had, I want to say, it was 32 or 36 touches. Like, he just was not on the ball. He didn't give us anything offensively. You know, it was just a nothing game. He really didn't do much. And I just thought between him and Obi, just their defensive partnership was a disaster. It was as bad. I mean, I think Obi, you know, he gets a little bit of the flack, a little bit more of the flack than Pavel Buka, but I think Buka deserves just as much. I mean, he just, you know, Obi needs a guy to be there for him to basically relieve the pressure when we're trying
take some pressure off, right?
When we're trying to transition, like, that is the weak part of Obi's game. And one thing Moreno was good at was being in a spot to kind of relieve that pressure. And Buka's just disappears for that portion. And you know, that nobody can find him. And that's a problem when you you know, bring a guy in to basically do just that. Like that, that is what an eight's role is kind of being that the facilitator between the defense and the offense. So yeah, just an absolute fail on that. I gave Pavel Buchta a 3.5.
Yeah, I was really worried about this entire left side, honestly, when I saw it, just because of knowing how the Red Bulls run their midfield, right, and their mm-hmm. press and things like that. And so I was really concerned for both Luka and Pavel because, you know, having not seen it before, right? So I feel like this was, especially for Buchta, like his welcome to MLS kind of right. game. Like, bro, like this is, you know, this is what the best midfields are going to do. And again, Red Bulls are unique. And of course, you know, they're one of the better pressing teams, but he's just got to be better.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bounce it over to Obi, who I think a lot of people might have been surprised when he started. There was a little bit of a tease that Kubo would start. Everyone assumed it was going to be in the midfield, but Obi coming back from his injury gets just over an hour's worth of work. And eyes were on him a lot, and not always for the best reasons, huh?
Yeah, correct. You know, I thought, well, obviously he loses the ball on the Frankie Amaya goal. I don't think that's all his fault, but that is the weak part of his game. When you pass it to him and he's facing goal, he's not going to be able to turn around. Like, he's just not that player. He's not a guy that really plays on the half turn but that wasn't all on him. I mean, the pass was poor too, and I'll get to that, but really not a great play from him though, to lose the ball to Amaya first and then not really be able to follow it up and defend Amaya either when he scores the goal. Also a definite yellow on the tackle to Forsberg. It was a necessary tackle. Forsberg had him beat a lot.
A lot.
And fouls Morgan later in a really dangerous spot. That free kick hit the wall. But, you know, they just got way too many chances at the top of the box. I mean, it really did remind me of old FC Cincinnati when we, you know, in the spoon eras where we just could not control that area of the field. And I haven't seen that at all with Obi in right. the lineup, but I definitely saw it in this one. Loses Forsberg on another really long shot. He did win both of his tackles, but again, like, only two tackles from Obi is not a huge number. He was only 3 of 12 on his duels. He had only 4 recoveries. So, you know, not great there. Beaten by Forsberg all night long. He was
just keep going back to
it was just like, you know, over and over again. He was dispossessed 4 times, which is also awful for a defensive midfield. I mean, that is about the worst thing you can have happen to you. 7 of 8 on his long passes is about the only bright spot. I gave Obi Wobodo a 3.5.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's finish out this midfield. We'll bounce over to DeAndre Yedlin. Please tell me he's going to rescue us from back-to-back 3.5 ratings.
Yeah, he is. You know, Yedlin had, I think, a kind of a hard game for me to score, because I do think he had some of our brightest moments, and I do think he had, you know, he had a hand in all 3 goals. You know, his early shot on goal was right at Cornell, but Lucho was able to get the rebound off of that. You know, it was a good enough shot that it wasn't catchable. Lucho gets the rebound and is able to pass it over to Yuya Kubo for the goal. He also was the one that passed it to Obi, basically, I think, setting up Amaya's goal. Like, I put that a little bit on Obi, and I put that a little bit on Yedlin, because, I mean, the pass was pretty behind Obi. You know, Obi had to stretch his foot out to get it, kind of left him off balance, wasn't able to get a good controlling touch. Amaya is able to take it and score. He also got beat pretty bad in the box by Tolkien when... I mean, I think he thought that he was going to get called for a handball in the box, and he turns to argue the call. The call was never made, and the play continued, right. and Tolkien was able to get a great shot there. And that counted as him getting beat on the dribble. Then, you know, he was the other person with Miles Robinson, who totally over pursued Van Zier on that cutback, you know, left him to plaid too. But also a really nice driven cross to Bupenza. That one didn't actually count because Bupenza was deemed to be offside, but it was still really nice, and I don't know that it was offside, if I'm being honest. But yeah. You know, I will say that the comments about the refs taking the game also are like, oh, come on, like were you watching that crap? Like, we were terrible. You know, Yedlin does draw a yellow on Amaya, which always gets you a little bit extra with me. He had 10 recoveries, which was by far the best on the team. He also had the team's only intercepted pass, which is, you know, both bad and good.
I guess.
How is one interception the only, like, we only intercepted one pass? Like, they had like 60% of the ball. Like, how are we not intercepting more passes? But right. Also only 4 of 10 on his duels, but he did have 2 shot creating actions and a goal creating action. The 2 shot creating actions was tied for second on the team. Again, that's a crazy low number for being tied for second. He was tied with Kubo and Obi. He had 3 progressive carries, which led the team, only 2 progressive passes, but he did have 11 progressive receptions. You know, I thought he was honestly one of our better outlets. He did get dribbled once, but he did have 3 missed touches. He was dispossessed twice. He was 0 of 3 on his long passes. I mean, there was a lot also not to like about what he did. I mean, he just didn't quite have that final ball for us. At least not consistently enough. I gave DeAndre Yedlin a 5.5.
All right. Well, he barely rescues us from the doldrums of the 3.5s. Let's see if we can get a better score here. Let's move up to Lucho Acosta. He got the assist early on in this one. What about the other 90 minutes of this game? Or I guess 87.
I mean, it was a slow roll downhill in this game for Lucho Acosta. I mean, I do think, like, his first half was pretty solid. He had a, like you said, it was a first to get on the end of that Miazga pass was pretty nice. And then to pass a really nice leave off to Yedlin, you know, that shot gets blocked, but he gets the rebound and has an even better pass to Yuya Kubo for the assist on that. I mean, that was definitely 90% assist and 10% finish on that. But also a great job to win the ball in the defensive in our defensive corner, and then he was in a 2v1 situation and he won that. I thought his service from free kicks and corner kicks was a lot better in the beginning of the game. He was really close to an Olympico. Cornell had to parry that away, and then he really forces a driving save from Cornell on a low curling shot just after that. He was fouled in a dangerous spot, but his free kick went off the side netting. But then here's where the troubles start. He was just like in the 60th minute. I really put a lot of that Van Zier goal on him just because his back pass in that was just, you know, it was both ill-advised and poorly executed. I mean, it was just passing it behind our own defense and getting it intercepted, and, you know, just to get intercepted on a back pass like that is, you know, really not good. I just thought that was sort of the beginning of the end there. You know, I will say that there were a lot of times that Obi and Pavel Buka were out of position. This was one of those times, but I'm not going to put a lot of that goal on those two guys because Lucho kind of passed them out of position by making that pass. And then after that, it seemed like every free kick he got was not even close to coming off. He did have 6 shot creating actions, which was by far the team lead. He had 13 progressive receptions, which led the team. He only had 1 missed touch, which is an incredibly low number for him. 10 attempted dribbles, only 3 successful. That goes to the guys trying to do too much sort of thing. You know, that's a lot of attempted dribbles and not a lot of success. He did have 11 progressive passes, which by far led the team. 3 key passes out of the team's 4 key passes. 5 recoveries, which was tied for 2nd. He had 1 assist. 88 touches, which was 2nd on the team. But then it's like he was 9 of 23 on his duels. He was only 58% passing. I mean, there was just some things just made you go, ugh. Just not enough. Like I thought first half he was stellar. Second half he went downhill. I gave Luciano Acosta a 6.5.
All right, 6.5. Let's move to the top, and we will start with Boop.
Oh, where, man.
Where is he? Boop, yeah, is he, right? Because it is.
That's,
Boop, where is he?
That's good. Yeah, I was going to say, did he play in this game?
I just came up with that.
That's first, I know, and second, I'm impressed. I don't know. Bobby Fischer, where is he? That's another thing. Yeah, Aaron Bupenza, you know, the only note I had from him from the game was he was apparently offside on that chance. I thought it might have been a poor call, but he didn't score anyway. Like, Cornell still made a great save on that, and that was really the only time I saw him get involved in the game. He had 17 touches in this one. 2 of those were missed touches. He had 2 recoveries. He had 2 offsides. I think that's kind of... You know, he just did not get involved in the buildup at all. Didn't seem to be all that. I mean, I just don't know.
Disinterested?
You know. Yeah. Yeah. Disinterested. He seemed disinterested. But, you know, all the same, it's like it's hard to tell because it's also like Luca and Lucho aren't really passing it. So,
right.
You know, it's hard to tell. But yeah. I mean, of all the guys on the team, yeah, he had by far the least touches. So it does kind of point to the disinterested thing. I just couldn't give Aaron Bupenza a good score for this game at all. I gave him a 5.0.
All right. Well, we don't have a man of the match yet. And Yu Yakubo is the last remaining starter. Doesn't mean it can't be a sub. He gets the goal 3 minutes in. We're flying high at that point. I think we're going to go on to win 15 to nothing if we keep up that pace. Yuya's right. Going to have 15 and take over the golden boot. It doesn't end up that way. But a good game for Yuya anyway, in my mind, because he scored.
Right. I mean, it was a good game. And I mean, yes, the header was easy, but he was double teamed.
Do we want more Kubo Bupenza action up top?
I mean, I might want more Kubo up top, but, you know, at what expense? Because it's like... You know, I thought our midfield looked terrible without him. So, it's hard for me. You know, I do think Kubo has worked himself into being a person that we have a hard time sitting down at this point. I just think, you know, last year it seemed like he had a hard time finding the field. And this year, like, what, you know, we can't afford to sit him. Right. But yeah, it was a gimme header.
No gimme, and your 90-10 was wrong.
Oh well,
20 all on Kubo.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but I will say he did an excellent job. Like, he is double covered, and he
he's got a post to deal with.
Yeah, and he does just a great job of just kind of sliding back away from both the guys that are on him and getting wide open. And putting that away, I mean, great job on that. I thought he had a really good ball after, here's the thing. It's like, yeah, he played 60-some minutes as striker, and then he moves to defensive midfield. And then he's winning the ball at defensive midfield. And yes, it is after, you know, that they kind of take take their foot off the gas a little bit, but they really don't have any more good chances once he moves back there. It shores up our defense a lot. And I thought, you know, basically he's the least of our problems. He had a really nice headed pass to Miazga for a really late shot off of a set piece. Draws the yellow on Goma right at the end of the game. He did have three missed touches as he, you know, played forward. But yeah, like I said, Yuya Kubo, the least of our problems. I gave him a 7.0. He was my man of the match.
All right. There's the MOTM from Adam Kuhn. We're going to cover any subs. You already got Murphy. He came on right at halftime. A few kind of Corey Baird sighting in for about 30 minutes. What do you got?
Yeah. Corey Bell didn't do anything.
Emil Assad saw the field for the first time.
Right. Yeah. Assad's first minutes. I thought actually Assad was kind of terrible, but
well, it was only, you know, seven.
Yeah. It was a command performance and we were definitely pushing, but I mean, I think he was like 2 of 9 on passing or something like that. But I do think Dotto had a pretty nice little shift. I thought once he was in, he became immediately one of our better offensive players. I wanted
you're
to
just
see
pining
more from him
for that Kubo Dotto partnership up top.
I mean, kind of. It seems like we're going to be just trying different combinations until somebody starts scoring here. So, I thought that. You know, there just wasn't a lot of bright spots to this game.
No, it was a slog, man. It was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what, you know, Red Bulls want to do. But, once upon a time, there was light in my life. But now there's only love in the dark, Adam. Nothing I can say. A total eclipse of my heart. Turn around, yep. Bright eyes.
Oh, God. All right. So did you give Dotto a rating or not?
I didn't give Dotto a rating. Okay. I just wanted to say that I thought he had a really good game.
No, I'm with you. All right. Let's recap this 2-1 defeat to the Red Bull. So we start out in the net. The man who gets his first start and a PK save, Evan Laurel, gets a 7. And then the tandem of Kip Keller and Ian Murphy on the left, that's a 5.5 for Kip and a 6.5 for Ian. Matt Miazga, a paltry 4.0 in the center, and Miles Robinson to his right holding a 5. So not a good night for this back line or the midfield, as we start with Luca Orellano, he of a 5.0. And then the central midfield just overrun all night. Pavel Buka, a 3.5, Obi, a 3.5, and then DeAndre Yedlin on the outside, matching Luka with a 5. So a lot of symmetry in your midfield ratings there, Adam. Lucho Acosta, a steady decline from what would have been a 10.0 performance if he would have gotten 15 assists. But he ends up instead with only 1 assist, and he gets a 6.5. Aaron Bupenza sleepwalks his way through a 5.0, and then Yuya Kubo with the goal. He is your Adam Kuhn man of the match, and he scores a 7. So add it all up. We are out of first in the supporter shield standings all the way down, tumbling down to 5th, a whole 2 points off the lead. So a tightly congested top 8 in the Eastern Conference looks to stay that way for a while, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I knew that this was going to be a test, but it's not going to be the first. We didn't pass this one. We'll see what we do on the next one.
I like it. Yeah. Okay. Let's do That's it that right. way then. All right. Well, then that next one will be the Club de Foot, right? Montreal, which I'm That's told right. is really where poutine comes from.
Yes.
Even though Montreal is in Canada and then by extension making poutine a Canadian food.
Right. But, well, and I will say I have definitely eaten poutine in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. I've had it everywhere. Vancouver, yeah. Toronto, yeah. Saskatchewan, yeah. or whatever it is.
Saskatchewan. Yeah. I've definitely had poutine in New Brunswick.
So. I've had poutine in Columbus.
Well, I've had poutine in Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, it's
international.
Yeah, yeah. It's
go to that Canadian restaurant in Jacksonville. What do they serve? Poutine. Yeah. Poutine. Not a French restaurant.
No. Not a French Canadian restaurant. No,
it's definitely Definitely not. But we will be here to bring you all the reaction. That game is on the road. So I think we don't play again at home until end of the month. Yeah, end of the month against Colorado. So a couple of road games here coming up. Hopefully that means some more points in that point column. Hopefully six before we come back home to TQL at the end of the month. But we'll be here to recap Montreal for you again. So thanks for listening. We appreciate you guys as always. And for Grade A, I am Adam Wycan saying Prost.
And I'm Adam Kim. Turn around, Bright Eyes.
So, do that. That's my drag. Yeah.
This is while you're looking for that. Once upon a time, I was falling in love. Now I'm only falling apart.
Oh, Lord.
Nothing I can do. Total eclipse of the heart.
Did you enjoy your eclipse viewing?
I did very much. Yeah, I was.
Wild stuff, huh?
Yeah. Like I said, I've told you, you know, not on the podcast, but I told you that I did this back in 2017, and I was, you know, I was pumped to do it again.
Oh yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah, it's so much cooler than, like, you know,
right?
People are like, yeah, the difference between a 99% eclipse and a 100% eclipse is mind-boggling.
Would you say it's like night and day?
Yeah, I would. I would literally say that. Yes, it is like night and day.
It was pretty wild there for a few minutes.
It is, you know, I do understand why people would, like, slaughter goats whenever that would happen to try to appease the gods, because that would be, if you didn't know.
Could you imagine, coming, like, not knowing and all of a sudden, like, the light just starts going out?
Yeah, like, uh-oh, the sun went black, like, shit. Yep,
the rapture is upon us.
Yep.
Time to rapture. All right, well, this one's going to suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking painful. All right, you ready?
Yep.